the first time the women's canoe event will be on the Olympic program, which is a huge moment for our sport to finally have the gender equality and equal number of men and women. We've been competing in the women's C1 since 2000. Well, I have since 2010, so I am used to doubling up and doing both events. But there's only a few women doing that here. I think 5 or 6 of us will be doing both events.
We'll be looking for medals from Jess Fox. Don't you worry about that. The C1, the K1 in the water. She's a megastar, one of the biggest names in the Australian Olympic team, which kicks off today, the Olympic activity. Opening ceremony, of course, Friday. All the action you can catch in the News Limited papers. Scotty Gallen is covering the games for those papers across the country, and he's one of our favourites here in the Breakfast Club, live from Tokyo, Scotland. Welcome.
Hello, Daniel Sun. Good morning. Good morning. I don't know what that is in Japanese, but good morning.
Oh. What is good morning?
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa sort of thing?
Is it?
I don't know.
That's the obvious one.
Sometimes the obvious one's the right one, Scotty.
Scotty, yeah. Come on. You've got to know good morning. That's the basics, surely.
No, I just nod my head a lot and point, and I seem to be getting through.
Tell me, there's lots of stuff to talk about with you on the eve of an Olympic campaign, but what is has the reception been like to you foreign journalists from the locals?
Well, I haven't seen many of the locals because basically all I'm allowed to do is go from my hotel to the main press centre, which is about a 600-metre walk. And we see a few locals that are going about their lives, their business, going to work and stuff. So I haven't been out in the real cut and thrust of it yet. This is a soft quarantine, they call it. And from today, I think I'll be able to expand my horizon. So I haven't quite felt the "we don't want you here" yet. They still seem fairly friendly at the minute.
Right. I was speaking to someone, a text exchange with someone who's over there yesterday, who suggested that that's not going to last.
Well, I understand he would be unlike. He's a very ugly, bald-headed man.
So,
whereas
on.
I will be embraced.
Good morning, Jason Richardson, if you're listening. Hey, tell me what's happening with Toshiro Muto. I'm concerned about his mindset. He's still thinking about pulling the pin on these games. What's the latest?
Oh, I think that ship has sailed, surely.
11th hour, he's saying.
Who is he?
He's the organizer.
He's the head, yeah.
The head of the organizing committee for the Tokyo Games.
That's a setback.
Would be a real setback.
He said they're continuing discussions if the cases continue to spike.
Well, in a shock, of course, it's going to be the village is going to be an epicenter for virus.
Yes.
Come on, seriously. So, I can't say that. We're all here, we're all ready to go. I mean, I'm for the first time excited about it, even though there's not going to be any crowds, etc. But we might as well get it done if we've all made the effort.
Well, there's that, but there's also the fact that there's a public health issue if it's not going to plan, and the nation might want you out there sooner rather than later. It's a fascinating byplay, Scotty. And you said something there which really piqued my interest, that you're now really excited about it. We're a couple of days away, and it's one of those things, the Olympics, that until you're sort of there, because there's so much else going on, that you don't really get excited. But you are starting to feel the energy of Olympic freedom.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And I think, given the timing for lockdown over there and the swimming finals are going to be in the morning, the athletics and everything will be, it's all good time. I mean, it actually, I know lockdown's terrible, but to be able to watch the Olympics, and you'll feel it through the TV and stuff. I mean, no crowds, yes, get that. But for all the athletes that actually get here, it'll click into, oh, this is pretty exciting mode quickly. And I think we're all feeling it here. Yeah, a week ago we were still like, oh, are we really going to go? If they pull the pin now, that's a good result. But now I think everyone, the Olympic spirit, it's a real thing. Yeah, we know this is an asterisk game, but I reckon we'll all be on the edge of the seats of the couch watching it.
So I don't want to sort of dwell on it, Scotty, but what happens if there is a major outbreak in the in the village? Because
there's already been 67 cases linked to those accredited to the game.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, what will happen?
Well, it's interesting because the old close contact, which we get very excited about in Victoria, all they do is the positive person gets kicked out of the village, and anyone who's been in contact with them, nah, plough on, all good, because you just keep having tests. So, look, I don't know what they classify a major outbreak as. Sherelle said, we've already had three or cases and they just get removed and we just plough on as if nothing happened. These athletes have been tested a million times, but how every person in every country who goes in there, obviously you can't, they're not safe. So I think the athletes know it's a roll of the dice and you've got to be lucky to get through, really. They've done everything they can, but if they're all holed up in that one sort of area, I don't know. What, when do you say it's a crisis? When it gets to 10, 20 cases in that one area? I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
So from a point of view of vaccination, because a lot of the Australian athletes were vaccinated to be able to go across, is there a blanket rule on vaccination of athletes?
No, not even in Australia, Wadi.
Okay.
They couldn't force them because we know there's an anti-vax movement and it's a choice of people. So it was, I think, all the Australian team did, but I don't think across the board that's a prerequisite for entry. It's advice and 99% of people have done it. So, unfortunately, it's not across the board. But as we've found out, yeah, you can be vaxxed, you can still catch it and still move, carry it and then pass it on.
Scotty, oh, sorry, I'm just going to jump in there, half. We're talking a little bit about the crowds and the excitement for you guys, as you said, feels like it's building while you're over there. Do you think that is going to continue given the fact that there's not going to be any crowds?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think they're going to find a way to... I know it's going to be weird. I mean, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to being in that stadium. I mean, I remember the first AFL game I covered last year with no one there, and it was a horrible experience. So I fear there's going to be a little bit of that about it. I mean, the crowds do so much for athletes. You know that. So it's going to be weird. Whether the ground swell locally, I mean, 80% didn't want us to be here. Do they sort of get more involved with it? Does the city start to have an Olympic feel? I think that's coming, even though, you know, there's news crews following journos and trying to catch them out not wearing masks and stuff. That's already started. So I hope it can generate some sort of momentum, but it's going to be very different.
Mm. What's the biggest story going to be that you'll be following through the games, Scotty? Is there an event? Is there a competitor that's going to hog the headlines more than others?
Oh, well, you know, I come from a track and field slant, so I'm a bit biased. I mean, Alison Felix, I love her. She's going for a 58th gold medal or something, 35. So she's going to captivate me. And the Aussies, now Stuart McSwain, Nicola McDermott. There's a couple of exciting new talents that'll keep me interested. Yeah, so I'm more the track and field slant. I mean, the Boomers interest me. I know that's going to be hold our attention for the whole 2 weeks. So they're probably the ones I'm looking forward to.
Well, the Boomers and the Opals as well, Scotty. I mean, for me, that's such a... It's been such a massive story with Liz Cambage as, you know, arguably the best player in the world coming out of that and the impact on the Opals. And maybe they'll be just as good without her, potentially.
And in a shock, we still don't know the real story. There's very reports of good old Liz. So, yeah, that's... I mean, we beat America the day after all that happened, which is a good sign. So it's going to be very interesting. I hope they do it. They deserve it.
Well, Sarah Blitzavs has been the flying replacement for Liz Cambage, of course. And you being a great Geelong man and host of the award-winning podcasts, where Mark is the two-time best and fairest, I'm sure you'll get access to the inner sanctum with the Opals, Scotty.
That's very true. Well, what happened? She got cut by her NBA team and cut by the Opals all while she's in lockdown or something. So it's a good comeback from Sarah.
Yeah, great story. I am concerned, though. There is a story that's bubbling along, which does concern me, Scotty. There are predictions we could see the hottest Olympics ever after temperatures soared to 34 degrees yesterday. Ooh. And what happened, what that means, Scotty, is the sand was so hot at the beach volleyball, the athletes weren't able to train because their feet were burning.
Oh.
They had to hose down the sand.
Clearly they should wear thongs.
Well,
the thongs don't keep sand out off your feet.
You can't be playing beach volleyball in thongs. You might have to take beach volleyball indoors, Scotty.
No, surely not.
Well, have they got a spare indoor cricket centre that they can turn into sand volleyball, beach volleyball?
I'm sure they have. I mean, they're running the marathon and the walks at 5 in the morning and stuff. Maybe we need to get our beach volleyball happening that early as well. It does get a little bit hot. Andrew Mays would certainly struggle. It is certainly, but it's a beautiful evening. So people will be running very fast at around 9 o'clock in the evening for the athletics.
No, well, speaking of, before we let you go, that's an important subject you've hit on. We were talking this morning about the spikes. Oh. Usain's not happy with the spikes. What can you tell us about this? I don't quite understand this.
Yeah, well, what's happened? So if you go back a couple of years, the marathon, you know, they've started running 2 hours and
yep.
changed the spikes there, which are too spongy, and they're not allowed to wear them on the track. So then Nike brought out this new spike for middle distance people that's revolutionised that. Everyone's breaking records, flashing like 10 seconds off. It's got more cushion, so it's not as hard on their feet. So everyone's got that, so they're loving that. And now the sprint spikes, they've also tinkered with them and found a technology that, you know, Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce ran 10:67 or something, you know, fastest time for 30-odd years. And she's already a two-time Olympic medalist at 34 running that fast. And she's like, oh, no, it's my hard work. Usain's not happy. The big fella's blown up because he thinks they tried to change the stuff when he was still running and they wouldn't let the companies do it. And now they've just, Nike's got ahead of the game and he can see his world record's under threat, not because of the guys as fast as him, but the little things on their feet are doing, they're like the swimsuits. It's a cheating.
It is fascinating.
It is fascinating. Yeah. They've all got it. So everyone, even if you're sponsored by Adidas or Reebok, they've had to let you wear the Nike spikes because everyone's got them and they're clearly an advantage.
Wow.
So you can't call it cheating. It's just technology's caught up and everyone's on board.
Righto. Who are you? You're rooming. You're not rooming with anyone because you're COVID protocols. So who is
on the cardboard bed? Oh no, he wouldn't be.
Who is the biggest personality you've come across, Scotty?
No, well, it's pretty low key in this area. We don't associate with too many on my team. It's fairly low key so far. Let me get more involved after my 3-day quarantine has ceased.
Right,
and I'll have more for you on that.
Sherelle made a good point. Have you got one of those cardboard beds?
No, they understand that I've actually got two beds, single beds, that they need to look after my athletic frame.
Got to stay fresh for a big campaign. Scotty, we look forward to spending some time with you throughout the games. Appreciate your time as always, mate. Go get them.
It's great to hear you boys on the airwaves again.
It's just nice to have good people around the business. Good stuff. Scotty Gullen covering the games in Tokyo for the News Limited papers. You'll read all about his stuff with certainly the athletics bent, as he says, as part of that.